This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7.06 a.m. on Thursday, the 26th of May. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Kusu Chuang and Tan Chen Li. First, let's recap how global markets closed overnight.
In the U.S., Dow up 0.6%, S&P 500 up 1%, Nasdaq up 1.5%. Asian markets, Nikkei down 0.3%, Hang Seng up 0.3%, Shanghai Composite up 1.2%, STI down 0.5%, FBM KLCI up 0.3%.
So for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we speak to Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, good morning. Let's get some reactions on U.S. markets overnight. They interpreted the latest Fed meetings pretty favorably, it seems. The U.S. stocks all inched upwards. What did they find reassuring about the Fed's policy direction?
I think they were just looking for some direction that things weren't going to be worse than the guidance that they received previously, because commodity prices haven't stopped rising necessarily. And so I think people were afraid that the Fed might accelerate their plan to stop inflation, and just a little bit of a nudge that they probably weren't going to do that and they were going to remain flexible probably held things out. After hours, you had NVIDIA report, which was really disappointing. And so the NASDAQ futures are down pretty far right now. So although we had a good trading today, things are looking a little bit pessimistic for tomorrow based on some earnings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Fed translators have a TLDR, a conclusion on the Fed minutes yesterday, which have it that three more 50 basis points hikes and then an indefinite pause, Tony. What do you think about that translation?
So I think what they're saying is, or investors are seeing, say, for the next 6 months, that things will be pretty stable. They can bake in the 250 basis point rises. And from there, it's pretty easy to calculate how much tolerance you have. The other factor to think through is how much the Fed will tighten for the next 6 months. And that's already baked in, how much they're tightening their balance sheet. And I think that's $23 billion a month, or 32. I can't remember the number exactly, but it's a stable number, and that's really, really unlikely to accelerate.
Tony, does this set the stage for a second half risk rally?
Yeah, it possibly could, because it's campaign season, and you know, nobody really wants to be tightening going into a campaign. So it's possible. There's a lot of talk about recession, and you know, if there is a recession, we're already in the middle of it. So there's no sense kind of worrying about it, because it's already here if that's the case. We already had a first quarter contraction in U.S. GDP. If we have a second quarter, you know, we're already halfway through that anyway, almost. So, we're two-thirds of the way through that. So it doesn't really matter that much. And I think people are starting to look at that in a different light.
The CBOE Volatility Index, or the fear gauge, has been moving sideways between 25 and 35 over the last month. What would that trading pattern indicate about equity market expectations?
Yeah, the VIX really is, it measures volatility of S&P 500 options over the next 30 days. And so it tells me that, yeah, there is, I would say, heightened sensitivity or elevated volatility expected. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's extreme. So it doesn't appear that people are looking for some sort of extreme, say, May or April 2020 type of event. So people are worried about further falls in equities, further pullbacks in equities. But I don't necessarily, based on what we're seeing in the VIX, not necessarily seeing people expect things to fall off a cliff.
And I think looking at how the rise in interest rate, what kind of impact it's been having so far, we may be seeing that in U.S. home sales, because in April it fell to their lowest in 9 years. But right. What other headwinds do you see facing the U.S. housing market, you know, and how do you think it's going to impact property and the construction sector moving forward?
Yeah, you hear people in the U.S. talk about supply, like there's a short supply on the market or not enough supply. In May, we actually went up to 9 months of housing supply on the market. And what that means is the number of, say, homes that are on the market, given the current pace of buying, would last for 9 months. So there is now, of course, there is short supply in some markets. But in general, there seems to be, across the U.S. at least, ample supply. So, you know, people are going to pull in their expectations for price, given that interest rates have risen. But if they continue to rise, they'll want to rush their purchases forward, which is possibly what we'll see, you know, especially over the next 30 days or so, because people always want to save a little bit more on the interest rate. So, you know, I don't see a lot unless we start seeing mass layoff events or something like that. You know, we did see some, I'm not sure how much of this you see in Malaysia, but we did see a lot of all cash buyers for houses in the U.S. And what's been happening there is people will take out a loan, a cash loan, against their equity portfolio. We will definitely see that stop because equities are not as elevated as they were, you know, 60, 90 days ago. There have been some calls on those loans. And so some of those transactions have had to stop. So I think that's what's led, part of what's led to a little bit more supply on the market and may slow down some of the purchase transactions.
Yeah, Tony, still on properties, right? I think I read somewhere that the median home price in America across the whole country is somewhere around either $349,000 or $391,000 per house, which is the highest it's ever been in a number of years. Do you see that price, in, do you see that house asset inflation continuing to creep upwards, or do you think it's kind of like peaked off and it's going to taper off?
I think, you know, we do have a lot of new houses under construction. So I don't necessarily think we'll see that continue to rise at the rate that we've seen. If we do, it will continue for a period, maybe 6 to 12 months or something. But I don't necessarily see house prices continue to rise, especially with interest rates rising. If we had kept interest rates where they were, then sure, we'd continue to see house prices rise at that rate. But because they're pulling that lever, I think they're going to let it sit, of course, as Powell said, for a period of time. But if house prices continue to rise in an uncontrolled way, I think they'll come back in and intervene with interest rates.
And with India now restricting sugar exports and Malaysia doing the same with chicken, where is the trend towards food protectionism headed? And are we looking at a global food crisis?
Yeah, I think your last question first. Yeah, I think we are definitely looking at a global food crisis in, well, maybe not global, a regional food crisis in certain regions. Of course, you know, there have been protests in Iran, supposedly over food prices. We've seen issues in Sri Lanka, of course, places like Egypt, you know, different countries. There are problems. But I think some of this is related to Ukraine's inability to export, Ukraine and Russia's inability to export some of their goods. And yes, some of it's protectionist with sugar in India and other things. But I think the countries that are holding back exports are more focused on providing for their citizens. And I think they're trying to visually make sure that their citizens see that as a priority, so that the citizens aren't, you know, protesting and upset. And if we look at what's happening in Pakistan right now, so citizens aren't protesting and upset. So they actually, the political leadership is actually seen to be doing something to hold some food back for their clients or their citizens as a hedge against inflation. So I think part of it's political. I know it's a little bit protectionist, but I think it's more just being very, very careful about being prudent for their citizens.
Tony, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, weighing in on some of the trends that he sees moving markets, commenting on, I suppose, his outlook for the housing sector in the U.S., which has taken a different, trajectory from Malaysia, which is which our housing hasn't really gone anywhere for the past 6 years, actually.
Yeah. In fact, since 2014. But I just checked some of the data from America, the Fed statistic from the St. Louis Fed prices. The median house price in America is $430,000. Of course, median is the middle number between the top and bottom. Right? $430,000 per house in America. That's average, you know. That's reached about, 1.8 million ringgit? That's a lot of money. That's inflation for you.
7:17 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, and after that, all you should know about green bonds in the region. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.